se va. Son. And he is, in fact, the Trinity of God. And that is something that Lucifer could have never attained to. Maybe he never even understood what he was trying to do when he stated, "I will be like the Most High." But we, in fact, are placed there in the Son. That's a matter of fact. And this truth was hidden, God hidden. And standing here saying these words, I know that, and understanding that these scriptures have been passed down by the care of the Lord for hundreds of years. Men and women dying for them, literally. I can't help but say that, knowing that that's true. Knowing that there was a period of time where men and women not too long ago would die for even having the possession of these scriptures. They would be hunted, you know. That was just a few hundred years ago. And yet the Lord has preserved these scriptures so we can, through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, read about a calling that overthrows the very enemy of God, and that places us as being the fullness of part of the Trinity of God. Try to get your mind around that. Amen. Amen. And, you know, sometimes I pray to the Lord and I say, just help me realize these things. I stop from all of the things that go in my mind that we're all subject to in our fast-paced, goofy electronic toilet that we live in. And I stop and I pray to the Lord, let me glorify you as creator. Let me know what you would have me to know, please. Let me understand the significance of it, the power of it, the beauty of it, what the price you paid for it, the price people paid for it. Understand that I'm here because of your work of the ages. Help me understand who I am as being one where neither Jew or Gentile matters in this period of time that is coming to a close, this period of awesome grace that is coming to a close rapidly around us. Help me to understand who I am in that, really. Help me push aside all of these thoughts in my fleshly life and help me understand who I am in you and why you chose me, and let me be that person that you would want me to be, and help me work the work that you would want me to work. And see, all of these things have to do with our calling, which was hidden in God. Because also, you'll find that in Colossians 3, which we'll get to, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Untouchable. We are untouchable. Untouchable. For when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, ye shall also be manifested with him in glory. Incredible. Unspeakable promise. Really. Unspeakable promise for us to set our minds on. And we are hid with Christ in God. So that's basically, I was looking over these scriptures that Bob pulled out for us to study, and hidden God, something hit my mind. Hidden God. Hit my mind, and I said, there it is, you know, because I pray about, you know, I'm nothing special, but But I think all the guys, they pray about what they're going to teach about up here. And that's very important. It's a very heavy-duty responsibility, really, to get up here and talk about the Word of the Living God. It's an extreme responsibility. It's a trembling one, really. And so I pray that, for one, the subject is something that would honor Him, and one that would help you guys understand your life in Him. So that's what I prayed. At any rate, let's turn to Colossians 1 and read the scriptures that Bob chose. And then what I'm going to speak about for a few minutes is I'm going to trace hid in the scriptures, the idea of things that are hid in the scriptures. And it's an interesting, extremely rewarding study. And I'm just going to touch on some high points. But there's songs about it. I can't sing them too well right now. But there's a song about, let me hide myself in thee, right? How does that go? Anybody know? What?
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages. Bless for me, right?
Yep.
Let me hide myself in thee. Where does that come from? Hide myself in thee. What does that mean? How do I do that? All right. David talks a lot about hiding. The hiding of himself in the Lord. We'll go there. We're going to read Psalms 27. And it's connected with a Greek word, krypto. Because there's a word called the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. And so, which was done by 70 Hebrew scholars a few hundred years before the time of the Lord. So, and I believe that it's sanctioned by the Most High God. The Septuagint is an awesome word. And what it does is it allows you to be a Koine Greek understanding person, not knowing Hebrew, and to go back to the Old Testament to get a concise idea or fact of what the Hebrew says. Does that make sense to you? Did that all make sense to everybody? So I can know through the Septuagint that this Greek word krypto has to do with Psalms 27, where David is crying out to the Lord about that the Lord might hide him in certain ways. That's interesting. All right, well, let's read Colossians 1. The verses that Bob took up, called out for us to study. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the good message which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I Paul am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, where I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill or fill up the word of God, the complete word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to his saints. So when I read this, I thought about being hidden God. And basically, I'm going to start moving through this now. There are three basic Greek words that give us a really good understanding in the New Testament scriptures about things that are hidden God. And here they are. Apokrypto is the first one we're going to go over. Apokryphos is the next one. And krypto is the last one. And I'm just going to go over the occurrences of these Greek words that have to do with the subject of hidden. That's it. You know. So, oh, and by the way, I know that I just wanted to comment on a couple things that Jack said about, you know, he was mentioning when you guys retire. And when he said that, I thought about my buddy up there. Already up there, I just retired. I would say I think it stinks. Yeah, because I got a ways to go. A bunch of us have ways to go, Jack. So I hope you find that as humorous as I do. And then this guy over here, glorified insurance yourself, man. I'm just a lowly dentist, so I'm not retired or I don't sell glorified insurance. But I just thought. What?
No underwriting.
No underwriting, yeah. That's the guy. But yeah, and I just pray, I'm really glad for Artis, by the way, and I pray that Bob's retired here. And usually the people say, well, I'm working harder now than ever.
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, I don't know what that's like. But, you know, I just, you know. Yeah, I mean working. Yeah, I just, yeah. Yeah, I just, double jeopardy. And, you know, but I hope and pray for these guys that they use their time wisely. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, that might be an enticing thing. You know, you're retired now. You don't have things to do, but you should use your time wisely because we're only here for a speck of time. Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. All right. Apocrypho, what does it mean? It basically means this. And remembering that our calling was hidden in God, that's just the fact of that alone is mind-boggling. When you take into account the importance of these scriptures, the nation of Israel, the creation of all things, the flood of Noah, the coming of the Son of God, miracles that were produced, signs, wonders, prophetic writings, King David, King Solomon, Cain, Abel, all of these folks, all of this working of God, and yet our calling wasn't even traced in all of that work of God whatsoever. That should be absolutely stunning. That we should know such a thing. That we should be called in such a way. That we should be called to such a work of the Lord. It is, you know, what are the words for it? It's awesome and great. Loving, beautiful. I can live with that. I can glean off that for the rest of my life, knowing who I am in the Lord. I can have joy in that, strength in that, power in that, knowing who I am in Him. And what will be attacked is the fact of who I am in Him. That's, Satan can't do anything to us but move our minds away from the truth. Entice us away from who we are in the Lord through various means, especially our flesh. Our flesh is very problematic. All right. But there's many things that the Lord tells us in His Word about walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And again, that's not to be taken lightly anymore. It's not fun and games anymore. We're not going to Sunday school here. This is raw life. Every day, every second life, that's what we're in. We're in every day, every second battle for the truth. You know, you don't have the luxury of going to your homes thinking that you can go visit the Lord. Because you are of Him every second of your life. And see, that's the difference between believing in the Lord and knowing Him. And see, I think that, boy, I'm running amok here. I'm not even doing anything yet, but this is all really important because I think people believe that God can be visited, and those are the people that might believe in his name, but they don't know him. There's a difference between believing in the name of the Son of God and knowing him. And much more, there's a difference between believing in your calling and knowing it, I believe. You know, knowing your calling is living it. And whether you realize that or not, that doesn't make the fact that your calling is life. That's your life. You're called to him. You're his. You know, so this isn't something that you, a truth that you visit as you please. Because if you do, like me, you run into trouble. And you will be enticed. And you will be attacked constantly to move you away from it. Really. And we live in very, very serious times now. They're getting serious. You know, I read articles by men that in the 30s, 20s and 30s thought that they were in extremely serious times, as I said. Well, let's turn to the scriptures. Forget my bad look here. 1 Corinthians 2. Some awesome things. This has to do with apokrypto, right here. What does this word mean? It means this. As the use of knowledge that cannot be known except through the divine enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, it's knowledge that's hidden God and can't be known unless through the scriptures by the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit it's made known. Now, is there scriptures that are hid that through enlightenment apply to you? Yes. Turn to Ephesians. Well, don't turn there. But in Ephesians 1, Paul prays that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you might know the hope of your calling.
Amen.
Yeah, you are not, you are serious adults in the Lord. So this calling that was hidden God has to be enlightened to you through the sealing work of the Holy Spirit and through the scriptures.
Amen.
That's a fact. That's how we know that we are not mere religious people. We are sons of God. No matter what feeling comes over you, or no matter what, you know, this flesh battles with what? My flesh battles with, I'd like to have power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Mikey thinks, man, I'd like to have some. I'd like to know what the actual power of the Holy Spirit was. To me, that would be, awesome to see and know. But we don't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. We have the sealing of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm getting at is this, is that no matter how you feel, you know, like our flesh can bend our minds because of how we feel, you know. And that's, faith isn't feeling.
Amen.
Okay? Faith isn't feeling. So what I'm trying to tell you in my experience, I'm trying to say, my experience is, don't let your feeling override your faith. Because it's easy for us to do. We are weak, fleshly creatures.
Amen.
And a lot of times, because you're tired, you're worn out, you're spaced out, you're burned out, you're getting older, you're getting more tired, whatever. Even if you're young. Young people now, they got a real tough road to hoe. You know. Don't let your fleshly feeling override your faith and your calling in the Lord. Alright? Because you walk in the Spirit and not after your flesh. Take this from one who is a whiner and complainer. Okay, I whine and complain in my mind and nothing else. What's he in? I do that. And that's not good. But the Lord, you know, the Lord takes me to task at any rate. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Awesome work having to do with apokrypto. Knowledge that's hidden God and needs to be divinely enlightened for you to understand it. Okay, I got about 25 minutes, is that right? Can somebody tell me? Yeah, about that, okay. Because I don't want to run over or anything. But listen to these scriptures, even though they were written by the Apostle Paul during the Acts. 1 Corinthians 2:1-10. And I, brethren, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what? I think we should follow this. I love you guys because of Christ crucified in you. Not because, you know, you have $500,000 to share with me. You know, or a Ferrari for me to drive, or a job for me to get through you. I love you because of Christ in you. Paul was the same way when he came amongst his people. And I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It wasn't of the flesh, it was of the Spirit. But in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We have the same power in the Word through the Holy Spirit, no doubt about it, whatsoever. That's what gives us strength in our hope and our calling. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever treat that lightly. Don't ever set that aside. Don't ever think that it's something to be diddled around with. Don't ever think that it isn't factual and powerful and true, because you're going to be attacked into watering it down, laying it aside, not giving it the importance that it should be in your lives. That's one way the evil one can attack you. He can't get your life, but he can try to move you away from your power here. Howbeit, in verse 6, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, not with wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the apocrypto wisdom, the hidden wisdom of God, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, yes, the deep things of God. And this was written during the Acts period, no less. We have the same Holy Spirit dwelling within us, that searches out the deep things of God, yea, the deep things of God. And these are the things that the world has no idea about. Yes, it's as much a reality for us today as it was for them. Don't let the modern idea of things of the world you're living in convince you that it's not. Because the Holy Spirit, in his divine working through truth, is working the same in 2010 as he was in AD 54, according to our calling. That's the fact and the truth of things. Don't let the modern world deceive you, thinking that because of your modern niceties that the working of God isn't happening. I think we're deceived that way too. Do you know that? Satan is deceiving this world through comfort, from the cradle to the grave. You know? It's incredible. Men, as long as they're comfortable, don't care about the Lord. Yet when they die, they think because they're good, that God, whatever that is out there, will do something with them. Ridiculous. Blind lies. Yet they like it. They'll take it for a short season. Ridiculous, blind, filthy lies. Destined for death. That's what they're settling for. Because of what? Because they don't have to toil like men a few hundred years ago had to do? That's our modern world, our technological world, really. It's deceptive in the sense of how it makes our minds think. But the Word of God overpowers that in truth. All right? I know that. I say this out of experience. I'm not saying this is what bombards me, my being. And I think about these things. So, I'm just voicing that out. Matthew 11. Oh, wait a minute. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1, 23 through 31. I'm running out of time and I didn't even begin. Listen to this. Even though this is during the Acts period, it has to do with the truth of God. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than any man. For ye see your coloring, brethren, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Just like us, beloved brethren, today, not many of us are mighty, rich, powerful, have a genealogical background that goes back to princes or kings. Why is that? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, the things that don't have any generations or any name behind them.
Amen.
And the things despised God has chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught, the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. He is still working this out today. This principle. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glories, let him glory in the Lord. He is working out the same principle. That is to say, we are not queens and princesses and kings and mighty men and dictators and presidents and generals of armies and multi-billionaires, which do exist. All of these people do exist in this world. All of these types of people, high people of power, supposedly over this planet. The Lord hasn't chosen very many of them at all, but He's chosen us. Because this is the principle. He takes the humble and He exalts them over anybody that would set their mind in thinking they are greater than God. He's still working that out. And He's doing that with us over the greatest one that thinks He's greater than God. That's a fact. So I think this principle is being worked out in His church, the same as He worked it out during the Acts period, if you catch my drift on that. I'm not mixing dispensations. I'm talking about a principle of God. Why me, Lord? Maybe you should revel in the fact that you are who you are, and that you are lowly, and that you are poor, relatively. And that you are not mighty, and that you are not from a king's genealogy or blood, or that you are not president of the United States, or that you are not a senator mixed up in all of the wickedness. Thank God that you're not, and that you are hid in Christ and God, because He is taking you and defeating the mightiest of all four, the destroyer. Same principle, even to a greater degree. Do I have a video? Do I have a video of what I'm talking about? No. I don't have a video of heavenly places and of cherubims and of Satan and what he looks like. I don't have a video of what princes might be over different countries of this world. I don't have a video of how the spirit world works. This all has to be done through F-A-I-T-H, faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Not by sight, but by faith. The same today. The same principle, really. Big time. Big time faith. Your faith will be tested. True or not? All right, but you are chosen to a mighty calling. You can understand this only through eyes of faith and not by your fleshly eyes about what's going on around you. Because even the president today probably is there because of the ultimate plan of God. You know that? He might be wicked, but was Pharaoh wicked? Probably. Did Pharaoh worship strange gods? Yeah. Did the Lord use him?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we got a Pharaoh in there. You know, but the ultimate plan of God, no matter who he or what he is being worked out. That's a fact. That's seen through eyes of faith. All right? So, same principle there. Turn to Ephesians 3. My time is running out. So I'll use the words in our calling. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. Unto me who is the least of all saints. This is apokrypto again. And to me who is the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There they are again. The unsearchable riches of Christ. These things that the Apostle Paul is expounding in our calling cannot be found in scriptures. I'll say that again. Ultimately, astounding. Really, really, if we understand this book. Really, shocking. I think, you know, the more I study about the Apostle Paul, he was the shock man for the Lord. I'm doing a lesson on the book of Romans, and what he says, what the Holy Spirit says through the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans, when he's talking to Jews and Gentiles, had to be shocking to them. He says, I know this is a tangent, but he says things like, your circumcision avails nothing.
What?
These uncircumcised people are, he said over here, these uncircumcision are just as worthy of the grace of God as you circumcision are.
What?
He said that openly to Jews and Gentiles alike. And the more I study that, I think they were shocked. He says Abraham was chosen by faith. And grace, what? Our father was a man of faith in the beginning, not of the law? Yeah, what? I mean, really, he said some shocking things. I think the same thing. Some of these things are stunning that the Holy Spirit says to the Apostle Paul, as far as our calling are concerned. Just that, you know, Gentiles, no Jews, what? Was Paul, my calling hidden not in the scriptures? We're like, we should be more. You're kidding. You know, that's all we should be, but that's why I pray. Let me know about what you would have me to understand. Because I can't understand things without you. That's the more I live, the more I'm like, I can't do things without you. And I don't know if that's more of a whining thing or what, but I'm like, I can't do anything or know anything without you, Lord, and your word, help me. Yeah. Okay, let's go. And to make all see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, has been apocrypto in God. Amazing. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. Astounding. I'll say it again. Christ is the creator of all things. Lord, let me worship you as creator. You came here in the flesh. You're kidding. Boggles my mind when I think about it. It just does. It just does. How great he is that he came here and he created all this. You're kidding. To the intent that knowledge of principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Incredible, a heavy part of your calling. Let's look at the next word. I only have a few minutes. Apocryphos is the next one. Apocryphos. What does this mean? It means unrevealed knowledge that was concealed or kept secret, like a treasure, like hidden treasure. Oh yeah, does the Almighty have hidden treasure? Yeah, I can prove it. Colossians 2, 1 through 7. Knowledge hid like hidden treasure. Do you know this? I realized this one day. That in Christ and the Father and the Holy Spirit are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Her, lo and behold, that's written in Colossians 2. Hidden knowledge that's like treasure. Because without knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you can't understand what true treasure is on this planet. I don't care how monetarily rich you are, you'll never know what true treasure and true wisdom is, because they're kept by our God, like treasure. He treasures his treasures. You find this through this word. Colossians 2, 1 through 7. Part of your calling. You know, and what's amazing is that, hey, you all, these things are available. I like that word. They're available to you. The Lord isn't going to pour them into your mind and heart. But they're available. Can you believe it? Almighty God has made his treasures available to you. Do they have to do with the flesh? Not much so. Do they have to do with your life to come? Oh yeah. Do they have to do with the power of God? Yeah, it is working and who you are in him? Oh yeah. Is there a greater, more excellent life than living for him? No way. No way, no how. The greatest life is living for the Lord. The most wise life is living for him. You can know things of the eternal God that are his treasures. They're available in his word. It says so, for I would that ye knew what great comfort I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their right hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are apocryphos. In whom are apocryphos. in. Can I use the word Godhead? Is that legal? In the Godhead are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And through the Holy Spirit, these treasures, however the Lord sees fit, are available to us. Really. You know, so, being a son of God, in fact, in the flesh, goes even further than knowing the Lord. It goes further to the fact that you can know some awesome wisdom about the holy and almighty God. It's available to us. Let's turn to Luke 8. Apocrypha. So here's another example of the word. Let's see, we're just moving here through this word, hidden. Okay? I'm almost done. You know, but it's a great study, and I just, there's one word, let me just, as we turn to Luke 8, there's one word. Remember when the Apostle Paul, when there was about 20 or 40 guys that were out to kill him, and they had a conspiracy? Well, the word hid will take you there. Because the conspiracy has to do with him. Their conspiracy, they got together. Do you know that King David, when he prayed to the Lord in the Psalms, the same word is found there, where it wasn't men that had the conspiracy, but it was God and David that had the conspiracy against his enemies. And I'm laughing because I had to sit back and go, well, you know, these jerks think that they can have a conspiracy against the Lord's work. Well, the Lord can have a conspiracy against them. And that's found in the scriptures, studying this word yet, that the Lord conspired with David against his enemies. So take that. You know, I laughed at that. Okay, Luke 8. We just have a few minutes here. Yeah, I said that a half an hour ago. Luke 8, 9 through 18. Here's another place where Apocrypha treasure truth is seen. And Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting. I'm a Matthew 8. Luke 8. Oh, sorry about that. Luke 8. 9-18. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said unto them, It is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to others in parables. And seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. You know, in a sense, let me just say this out. I know that this is part of your experience, but in a sense, you've been given the mystery. And when you speak it out to some folks, they don't understand it. If you've ever had that experience, that's because they haven't been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. That's the fact and reality of that. Maybe the same principle is seen here in Luke 8 somewhat. These disciples knew things that the masses did not, is the fact. Now, the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. By the way, are they that hear, and then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation falls away. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasure of this life, and bring no fruit. But on this good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with much patience. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, and puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see it. For nothing is seen. secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. And I think that the fact of this parable is this, is that in the light of the knowledge of God, nothing is hid. Because when you have the light of God, you don't hide it, you put it up. And under this light, nothing escapes. So he's in this parable, just as we are supposed to be rooted and grounded in our truth, the same with this parable, the truth that fell on good ground and the light that was given makes everything manifest. That's what I think the point of this is that this light nothing can be hid from the light of God. And so this light works in us, as in good ground, the light of the scriptures. Just as in our calling, we're supposed to be rooted and grounded, interestingly enough. Now, I can end this with the last word, krupto. And this word is interesting. It's found in Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and it's found in John 8. And it's also found in Psalms 27. But I'm gonna just end with this, that the word krupto has many meanings. It means to conceal oneself. And I'll just say this. In John 8, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to folks, and he understood that the Pharisees might be planning to kill him, and he moved through them. If you remember that, let's turn there. It means, krupto means preventing something from being seen, to conceal oneself. It can mean preventing something from being known. It can mean preventing someone from being harmed in any way, by anyone, by anything. Alright? And we find this word in John 8, in Colossians 3, interestingly enough. In John 8, and Roddy and I talked about this. I know he said something that might have been great about this. Let's try to, we just have 2 minutes. Try to understand this, John 8, 52. And then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets that are dead, whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom I say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his sayings. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto them, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself. Krupto. He hid himself. And went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. How is that possible? That's what Ronnie and I were talking about. Not that Ronnie knows everything. Everybody thinks he's a great guy. My mother-in-law likes him better than I do. My mother-in-law likes him better than she likes me. But Ronnie and I, he's a great man of God, and we were talking about these great things. And is it a possibility that he transformed himself into spirit, maybe? Or didn't we come to that conclusion? How can he move through the midst of them after being seen by them? How can he move through them and not be seen? Is my question.
He did this several times.
He did this several times? Yeah, don't look at me like that. I don't know the exact answer. But he hid himself this way. He was in front of them speaking, and then he moved through them and they didn't know where he went. How is that possible? What happened? What did he do? Well, it has to do with krupto. He hid himself from them. So they didn't have any idea what happened. And the same word is applied to us. In Christ at the right hand of God. Whatever that might mean. I'm just doing the study. Krupto, let's end with Colossians 3:1-4. Colossians 3:1-4. Krupto. What can this word mean? It can mean many things. Preventing something from being seen, to conceal oneself, preventing from something from being known. Preventing someone from being harmed in any way by anything or by anyone. It also can mean being kept laid up with God. It has all those meanings. And this is what I see in Colossians 3. That we are kept, and who we are in the Lord is kept away from any harm whatsoever by anyone or anything. Is that true? If you are hid with Christ in God, can any being, power, might, dominion, person, touch you?
No.
Absolutely not.
Amen.
And are you being kept up, laid up, in store with God in Christ? Yes, you are. For a manifestation. So I see a multi benefits through this word about our calling, and we'll end with that. And I hope this was edifying to you. I could expand on this, but I just have a particular amount of time here. And as always, you know, as we go on, I think a lot of us know for a fact that we want to bring honor and glory to the Lord and to the Father through the Holy Spirit, through the Scriptures. And I know that in my mind, that's what my heart's desire would be, is that we know that we are nothing, and we know that without Him we are nothing. But He is everything, and in us we have all things in Him that He would have for us, especially spiritually. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand. How can we do this? F-A-I-T-H. That's how we do that. Through faith. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Set your heart there, your calling there. What will that do for you? It'll keep you out of trouble. Okay? Because you live in serious, enticing times. It'll keep you out of trouble. In the flesh and spiritually. Really. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For your life is hid, crucial, with Christ in God. Ye are dead. How can you be dead and alive at the same time? A guy asked me that. I have these scriptures on my wall. Colossians 3:1-4 in my office. And this one ex-merchant marine sergeant walked in. I'll say this again, because he was one of the only people in 20 years to notice these scriptures on my wall. One of two people in 20 years to notice these scriptures that were on my wall, this big. And he walked in and he said, "We're here." Really, right outside the room I work out of. And they walk out, they see these scriptures, and they go. And hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. And he walked up and he went, Free or dead, how can you be dead and alive at the same time? Like that. And, you know, and it's like, free or dead, he was like, and his name was Smitty. But at least Smitty had the wherewithal to see those scriptures and read them. And then try to understand them. For ye are dead, for we are dead, nothing can touch us. But we still have a work in the flesh here to do. That is, for the Lord. We are His workmanship. And there are good works that all of us are going to produce for Him. They're set, and you will do it. Because He will do it through you, and that's why you're here, for the most part. And then, the carrying on of His word. When Christ is who our life shall be manifested, that's the correct word that should be there, then shall ye also be manifested with Him in glory. Amen. And I thank you very much for having me.